are a member of the body of Christ. You're born from above. You're a new creation in Christ. You're a purchased possession. You no longer belong to yourself. You have the Holy Spirit of God. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And you have a divine supernatural gift residing in you.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Hello, everyone. It's great to have you tuning in for Pastor Bill's study in the Epistle of Romans. The message today is entitled, Right Thinking. Let's join Pastor.
Turn with me in your Bibles this morning as we continue our study in the book of Romans. We're in chapter 12. And let me read to you these verses. We've covered the first two, but I want to read them anyway. Paul writing there, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think how? Soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. We, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion to our faith. Ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, and he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And the church says, amen. Now listen carefully. This message is so important. It's important to me, but it's so important to you as well. And it's important to God. You know, I want to talk to you this morning about thinking the right way, about having that right thinking in your heart. You know, we've learned from last Sunday, you know, now that we finished the first 11 chapters, we know our position in Christ. Now, beginning in chapter 12, Paul says, now walk out your position that you have in Christ. In other words, put it into practice. And so, you know, we've learned that the only acceptable worship in the New Testament that God receives is that when you present ourselves, yourself, to him as a living sacrifice unto God. Amen? Boy, that is so vital that we do that. Now listen, if we are a believer and this has not occurred, in other words, we have not obeyed verse 1 and verse 2 of Romans 12, then there's no way that you can go into verse 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way. You can't do it because it requires you to present yourself on the altar to God and say, Lord, here I am. Do with me whatever you desire to do. We've also learned that if you're not renewing your mind to the word of God, you haven't presented yourself as a living sacrifice to God at all. You see, the reason I say that is the only way that we can be transformed is by the renewing of our mind, meaning the word of God. If not, we're going to be conformed to the world that we live in. And if we don't do that, if we haven't renewed our mind, if we haven't presented our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, we will never, ever be able to obey Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, where Paul uses the same word, beseech, as he did in verse 1 of chapter 12, where he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you walk worthy of your calling, meaning your heavenly calling. We're saved, amen? Now listen, the word worthy is a picture of a set of scales and where you balance things out, okay? So it means you're equal in doctrine, you're equal in practice. You are a hearer of God's word, and then you are a doer of God's word, amen? Listen, spiritual maturity is never, ever based on what you know. Never. Spiritual maturity is based on what you do. for the Lord. Now, right thinking is vital in the verses that are following. Because, see, we're going to learn if we have not presented ourselves as a living sacrifice. Well, number one, that's a bad thing. But there is no way that we can be inactive in the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. Be inactive in the body of Christ and say that we've presented ourselves as a living sacrifice. You are the most unique, gifted people in all of the universe. There's no one like you. And God has gifted each and every one of you. And I tell you, you have so much that is needed, not just for this body, but for those that are hurting in this world. You're their answer because you're the hands of the Lord, the mouth of the Lord on this planet that's dying. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, let's look right now at verse 3, and let's make sure we're going to be thinking right today. It says, Paul says, now listen, I say through the grace, that undeserved favor, that unmerited favor of God, I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, there comes that word, not to think of himself more highly, and let me add to Scripture, or less highly, okay, than he ought to think. But to think soberly as God, not your ability, God, our Father, has dwelt or dealt or distributed or divided among us or to each one a measure of faith. Did you see the word think that's repeated there three times? Now listen carefully. Only right thinking will help you to discover the gift that God has given you. You have to know you have a gift. You have to know that it's already been given to you. And it tells us because of that, it's so easy to get puffed up when God is using us, isn't it? You know, oh, how many people did you lead to the Lord? Well, I have card 45 on my gun this week, you know, my handle, you know. Do you understand what I mean? No, listen, he says, no, don't. Whatever you do, you don't understand, he says. Don't think more highly. That word only found here in the New Testament means to be overproud. Don't think more highly of yourself than you should. Now listen, we should think soberly. That's what it says. Amen? Okay, to think soberly means that to be in your right mind. Okay? In Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 15, remember when Jesus cast that demon out of the guy, you know, and whatnot? And it says, and we found him in his right mind. That's the same word here. Now listen, how important is the verse that I just quoted here in verse 3? Let me tell you, it's all about self. It's all about us, okay? Listen, pride, being puffed up about whatever God is doing in your life. Listen, pride is treated here as a form of insanity. You're not in your right mind. Just like the guy that was demon possessed. No, someone put it this way. Nothing is more to me than myself. It's all about me. Look what I can do. You know what I'm saying? You know, I know this is going to sound crazy, and please don't be offended, but you know, sometimes I listen, you know, K-Love? You're religious, aren't you? This side, you're with me, aren't you? That's the oldie goldie station. You know what I'm saying? I like the oldie goldies. Anyway, do y'all remember the Stylistics? You probably don't. They're from the 60s, man. They were from Philadelphia. They were an incredible group. And they came on, they were singing this song, you know, you are everything. Everything is you. Whoa. Yeah, you got it? Now, you know, when I heard that song, I didn't really do that, but when I heard that song, you know what I thought of? I thought of the church. You know, that really, I'm sorry, that's just the truth. In other words, you are everything. Everything is you. Huh? No, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. Amen? And so Paul says, boy, don't do that. Don't do that. See, only a renewed mind, only by getting God's word, will you truly have a proper attitude about who you really are. In other words, instead of an exaggerated opinion of who you really think you are. All that we have, everything we have, God has given us. Everything. You know, listen, if you're a young believer, and I hope this is not you if you're an older believer. If you are a younger believer, listen to me. Listen to the old guy. Do not spend the rest of your life trying to believe John 15:5. Jesus said something, and he meant what he said. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. If you go to the dictionary and look up the word nothing, you know what it means? Nothing. Nothing. You can't. In other words, well, Bill, that's how you got to be kidding me. People do great things. Yes, they do, but they don't do them for God. I mean, you can start have orphanages and everything else. But the thing is, only what you do for Jesus will have eternal significance in this world that is passing away. Amen? So listen, everything that I have, everything that you have, it's all by God's grace. And listen, God doesn't give you a gift. God doesn't give you faith to magnify yourself. He doesn't do that. God gets the glory. We don't deserve the glory. Amen? You know, look at the Apostle Paul. Paul, he cast out devils. He raised the dead. He was called up into the third heaven. In other words, he went to heaven, saw things that were unlawful for him to even speak. What did Paul call himself? He said, number one, he said, listen, I'm the least of all the apostles. 2 years before his death, you know what Paul said? I'm the chief of all sinners. Matter of fact, in verse 3, I want you to catch something. Paul, one of the greatest men that ever walked the face of the earth, loved one, listen to me now. Did you notice that verse 3 didn't start off by saying, I'm an apostle? Nothing he could have. I'm a bondservant of Christ? He didn't say that either. How did he start off verse 3? Look at it again. He says, for I say through my own knowledge, my own strength. No. Through the grace given to me. It's all about grace. Unmerited favor, God working in our hearts. If you think otherwise, then you're not thinking right. It's wrong thinking. If you go through the scriptures and just look at some of the things Paul said about the grace that was given to him. Let me give you a few. Romans 1:5, it says, through him we have received grace and apostleship. This is a good one. 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, Paul said, for me to live is Paul. No, for me to live is Christ. He goes on and he says, and his grace toward me was not in vain. It didn't come up empty-handed. Oh, no, his grace was so powerful in my life, Paul says. He says, oh, and I labored more abundantly than everyone else. Listen to what he says. But not me, not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So what is Paul teaching us before we ever get into any of the gifts that are listed, the seven gifts that are listed here? He's saying, listen, don't ever boast about the gift that God has given you. In other words, you know, where you're magnified. That's not what it's about. We are to glorify and magnify the one who died upon the cross for us. Amen? The one who saved us. He's the one who's worthy. And that's the way we should be. Listen, right thinking literally says here, God has given to each one a measure of what? Faith, not knowledge. I'm giving you a knowledge. No. A measure of faith. That's not great faith. That's not little faith. No. What is he saying? It means that God, whenever the Holy Spirit gave you the gift, when you were born again, you received at least one gift, supernatural gift. Now listen, that measure that you have been given, that faith, means that God gave you the exact right amount of faith to operate the gift that he has given unto you. Does that make sense? So what does that mean? It means we are totally without excuse if we're not walking, discovering the gift that God has placed in our life. We're without excuse. You are so vitally needed on this planet, in this city. You're needed because you have something special that God has placed in you for the body of Christ, but also for the ones that are out there that are lost. And if you don't discover your gift, that means those that are hurting, those that need you, that need your gift, you've hidden it. You've hidden it away. God says, no, I gave it to you to help other people. Amen? Now, look at verse 4. It says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same what? Function. That talking about our body, our human body first. He's saying, you know, in other words, we all have a function, but not of us all have the same function, okay? He says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Now listen, let's talk about our bodies for a moment. You know, this morning, or never mind, last night, next year, whatever, I don't know. Listen, my body, thank God, is one single unit, correct? Yes. Okay, but inside this one single unit as a body, there are many, many, many different parts, and every part is necessary. I don't want to lose any of them. Do you? No, you know, and I mean, I'm thankful that right now I can move and I don't even think I can walk and look out here. And I mean, it's just natural to do so. But everything, my brain is working, believe it or not. You know, my blood is flowing through my body. My eyesight is pretty well right now. I can see a little bit. You understand what I'm saying? I'm breathing normally. Thank God for that. So, and everything that I have, they're all working together as one to do something, to serve my body. You know, my breakfast that I had this morning is being digested right now. Now, that could not be the Holy Spirit. No, but you understand what I'm saying. It's working. Things that I don't even know about. There's words that I couldn't even pronounce some of the parts of my body, but they're all working. And not only that, my body that I live in and the body that you live in has one single will. Amen? We're all working together. I mean, my body, I don't wake up in the morning and my body says, I'm against you today. Let's pull a trick on Bill. Let the legs stop working. No, I mean, you know, can you imagine if my right eye, you know, and my left eye, they were in disagreement? I mean, you know, like my right eye said, I don't see things the way you do, buddy. You know what I'm saying? No, listen, everything is flowing and working together in unity. You see, my body has a will, and the body of Christ has a will, but it's not your will. It's the will of the head of the church, Jesus our Lord, and we are his body. Now, right thinking, believer, now listen to me. You have to be thinking right now to understand these words. You have a function, right? Look what it says. What does it say? It says, but all do not have the same function, but each one of you have a function in the body of Christ. Now listen, you exist to serve the body of Christ. The body of Christ doesn't exist to serve you. Let me say it again. You are a member of the body of Christ, and you exist. You're born from above. You're a new creation in Christ. You're a purchased possession. You no longer belong to yourself. You have the Holy Spirit of God. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, and you have a divine supernatural gift residing in you. You now exist to serve the body, not the body to take care and wait upon you. Does that make sense? Oh, loved one, that is vital. Listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians 4:16. Let me set that up. You remember that it says that Jesus, when he ascended, that he gave gifts unto men. Remember when he ascended, he emptied paradise, went back to heaven. It says that, you know, he gave gifts unto men, apostles, the prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, all of that. He measured it out exactly what they needed. And then it says in verse 16, it says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together from what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part, meaning each one of you, does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So the body grows and is built up as we love one another. Now listen, if we're going to have right thinking, it says everyone does its share. What does that mean? It means that you have to carry your own weight in the body of Christ. In other words, your gifting that God has given to you. Every part does its share. If we bring it down to just simple, where we don't have to be confused. In other words, before you arrived here this morning, there were people. They turned on the lights. They made sure the heating was working. Do you understand? Everybody's doing their job. And not only that, then the sound team shows up and the media booth, and they're getting everything set. They're getting all the computers turned on. They're making sure the lighting and all. And then the makeup lady who finishes me before I come out. All the things that happen before. Do you understand what I mean? Everybody has a job. Everybody does their share. Listen to me. Inactive believers in the body of Christ make the body of Christ dysfunctional. It means you're connected to the body, but you're just living off other people. You're just there, but you're not doing anything. I'm not beating you up. I'm telling you the truth in Christ. Amen? Listen, you are so vital. You are so needed. Why in the world would God give you a gift if he didn't want you to use it? He doesn't want you to take your light and put it underneath a bushel so no one can see. No, God wants to use you. Listen, true unity in the body of Christ takes place when every member participates. They do whatever God has called them to do. You are vital. It's just like this. You know, do you remember years ago the radios, even though they had power to the electricity of the older ones, they had 1,000 parts in them, but they also had something else. You know that little fuse that they had? Remember how you unscrew it and pull it out and then, it's burning up and you put it back in? Remember? All the parts of the radio, perfect, not a problem, but it becomes dysfunctional because of one piece. Just one little fuse. You know what? You may be the fuse that ignites this body to where we finally start functioning the way God intended it to function. You know, a lot of people blame the church. You know, I don't like the church. It wasn't in the worship or the pastor or the Sunday school or the, you know what I mean. Well, are you part of the body? Are you doing something? You see, when we're all firing on all cylinders, man, we are a mean machine. Do you see what I'm saying? But then we start being what Christ intended us to be on this planet when his body is doing what he's commanded them to do using the giftings that he has given unto you. Now, with all that being said, look at verse 6. Having then gifts, that means gifts, charismata, the gifts from the Holy Spirit. You haven't learned it, you haven't earned it, or any of those things. It's a gift. It says, having gifts, different kinds of gifts, according to the what? Grace. It's not our ability, it's grace that is given to us, not by our deep prayer life or our deep spirituality. No, no, no. He says, you've been given all this, and what are we to do with them? Let us what? Use them. Use what God has given. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion of our faith. Right thinking. Now let's think right this moment. Right thinking says it's time to activate your gifts. You know, there are only about 7, I believe, gifts that are listed here. 1 Corinthians 12 and chapter 14, they list other gifts. And then, of course, Ephesians chapter 4, there's other giftings there. But there are, I believe, so many gifts that God has given that are not even listed in God's word. And you'll never know unless you start stepping out and experiencing them. These wonderful gifts of the Spirit, okay? Gifts of helps, administrations, wisdom, knowledge, all the gifts that God has given. Now listen. There are many sincere pastors today in seminaries and so forth, and I love them, and they love the Lord. They're going to be in heaven, but they teach that the gifts of the Spirit, they've all passed away. In other words, when John the Apostle, when he died, everything was over with. So, and if that's the case, now let's learn here. If that's the case, we're talking about now prophecy, the first gift. If the gift of prophecy has passed away, if we want to know our text, read our context. Well, in context, that would mean if prophecy's gone, then the following verses with all the gifts that are there, they're gone too. Are you with me? Am I making sense? Yeah, but there's no way. In other words, well, what do you have, Bill? Well, we have God's truth, but we don't have any power. We just, we're dependent upon man-made programs and man leading. No, no, no. We have the power of God. Listen, it tells us, it says, what? Let us use them, exercise them. That means that each of us, we have an obligation, and your gift that God has given you is of no value unless you use it. It's no value. It won't help anyone or anything. Listen, the gifts of the Spirit, are they for today? Of course they are. Now, are they abused? Of course they're abused, but we don't abuse anything here, and I know we don't. We're not a fleshly church. We're not trying to magnify ourselves. We want to magnify our Lord. Amen?
Now, once again, we're out of time, but Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow to finish out the week with the conclusion to this message. Thanks for spending some of your day with us, and we'll see you next time. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International,
or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.